Warning: The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
New Monday, how are you? New Monday. Got to work, like a sleeve on me.
It is The Savage Nation, where I speak in bold caps. Everyone's offended by my emails. I write in bold caps. I don't understand the offense. Turn it off. We're going to talk about the minimum wage. Because on Thursday, fast food workers in 100 cities are going to walk off the job to push for a higher minimum wage. The illegal alien workers say they can't live on 7 1/4 an hour. Of course, they make a dollar a day in Mexico, but don't tell them that. And of course, if they can't live on 7 1/4 an hour, how come they're sending $15 to $25 billion a year to their home countries a year out of the American economy without being able to live on it? That's the part I don't understand. But nevertheless, the communist unions are pushing the workers out of their job, and they want $15 an hour. Now, the question is, will this be effective? And would you pay $10 for a McDonald's hamburger should they succeed? Because remember, the money has to come from somewhere. In other words, if you're going to have a wage hike, minimum wage hike, by the end of the year, and it goes from $7 an hour or 7 1/4 an hour, some places 8 1/4 an hour, California, San Francisco, $11 an hour. The SEIU, who put Obama in office, along with other radical leftist unions of that kind, are trying to push the workers into this strike. In other words, they're organizing it. And the question is, what do you think about the minimum wage? Should it be raised? Now, the first instinct from the knee-jerk conservatives is, oh, no, Mike. No, we'll go broke if we raise the minimum wage. Why, we'll go out of business. That's the knee-jerk conservative answer. I need some jergens on my hands. My skin is dry. So the knee jerk liberal answer is, oh no, they need a living wage. Okay, well, who's going to pay for the living wage is always the question. That's topic number one. Now, this is being organized by Fast Food Forward and Fight for 15, union-backed effort by low-paid workers, including many Walmart workers and workers for federal contractors that seek to raise the minimum wage to $15 an hour. Now, the federal minimum wage is now 7 1/4. And what this will do is a questionable thing. Backers of the movement for higher pay point the study saying that the average age of fast food workers is age 29. That it's not really an entry-level job anymore. People say that the minimum wage was originally created for kids going to high school to do odd jobs, which is true. I once worked for minimum wage. I didn't live on it. I lived at home. I made 75 cents an hour, and I was glad to have the job, by the way. And I told you that story many times of what happened when a city inspector came in because the pharmacist who was paying me 75 cents an hour was cheating me and I was off the books. I was glad to have the job off the books. I didn't know I was a criminal. I had no idea the poor little pharmacist trying to make a buck and survive in Queens, New York. He gave this kid, me, a job in high school. And around this time of year, Christmas, Thanksgiving, he'd sell a lot of the garbage on the shelves in addition to the pharmacies. He'd sell the lotions, preparations, the gifts, in other words. The crap, the lime water that people bought in those days. Oh, my God, what garbage. An entire generation of autoimmune disease sufferers resulted from those. Nevertheless, they sold them, you know, the scents and the soaps, and it went like crazy. So he hired a kid, me, 75 cents an hour. The minimum wage at that time was 1 1/4. He paid me 75, and I was glad to have the 75 cents an hour. I needed the money. It supplemented my income. I had no income. I lived at home. What do you mean supplemented my income? I felt rich. And I always put money away in the bank. I was one of the kids who always had a bank account. I remember to this day, on Union Turnpike in Queens, there was a bank called Bankers Trust Company. Who knows where they are today? They're probably all pushing daisies. But I proudly walked around with my little bank book. And I remember when it kept, $600, $700, $800. I thought I was a billionaire. I had an $800 account when I was a kid. I thought I was a billionaire. I had no idea what money was. But every dime was earned and put away. Okay, so now we'll come back down to the wire here. They're gonna walk off the job. Your favorite burger flippers are leaving their work on Thursday. Fast food strikes aim at 100 U.S. cities. Communists are happy. They're pushing them. They don't realize they're pushing them over the cliff. The illegal aliens are being pushed over the cliff by the white liberal communists. You don't know that yet, but you'll find out very soon. Now, it is true. It's very hard to live on the minimum wage of $7 an hour. Obviously, that adds up to about $15,000 a year for a full-time employee. But the labor unions, always being oriented towards absurdities, are pushing for it. Last month, Senator Barack Hussein Obama said he would back a Senate measure to raise the federal minimum wage to $10.10 an hour. I only wish the president would work for the minimum wage. Maybe I'd get something back at the end of the year. But nevertheless, we don't know how big the turnout will be at any given location or whether the walkouts will be enough to disrupt operations. There were similar actions this summer, which had varying results, with some restaurants unable to serve customers and others seemingly, unaffected. Now, there's another factor to the minimum wage that we should talk about. Older workers are increasingly entering the fast food industry. You don't know this. People over 65, some of them are working 2-3 jobs at minimum wage, and they're happy to have the job. They want the $7 an hour. They need the money. There are 55,000 fast food workers in New York City alone, and many of them, they say, will go on strike. And so the question is, what do you think about it? How do you feel about this topic? Should the minimum wage be raised by Congress? Period. That's the first question. Number two, what will happen if the minimum wage is raised? I know people in the restaurant business say they will go broke. They won't go broke. They'll earn less of a profit. Some of the smaller restaurants may become marginal and go out of business altogether. It's a very small margin. And, of course, how do you calculate a minimum wage for a waiter? Obviously, they're living on tips and a minimum wage, right? So if a guy is making a minimum wage plus tips, how do you calculate what the minimum wage should be? Now, it is true most people don't tip in fast food restaurants. I do. I'm one of the few. Because I was once a minimum wage worker, I always leave money for them, and they're shocked. Why shouldn't I? What, is it going to hurt me to leave them a buck? Or the change? Is it going to hurt you to leave them a dime? The day a liberal leaves the 3 cents that's in the cup on the tray when they buy the burger is the day I'll become a Democrat. The day a commie leftist from Marin County leaves 3 cents for a fast food worker is that they'll believe a word that they say out of their drooling mouth. So anyway, here we are. It's a very strange society we're living in. You've got people like the guy who owns Microsoft, whatever his name is, Alan something, I don't even know his name. Mega yachts, a fleet of airplanes, houses all over the world, marching with the protesters. Isn't it funny? You got a guy like Zucker Schmuck. I don't even know his first name, Zuckerschmuck, the undershirted pockmarked moron who got lucky by ripping off his friends at Harvard, according to them, and according to the movie. I don't know if it's true or not. But Zuckerschmuck, who makes billions of dollars, now wants to exploit workers, and he's marching in solidarity with illegal aliens, saying that they should be granted amnesty and this and that. Well, yeah, great. The whole object there is for Zuckerschmuck to make more money, to lower the minimum wage, the wage that he's paying workers in Silicon Valley. There's another story, by the way, to Zuckerschmuck, which is this. Over the last week, you don't know this, just before Thanksgiving, the ICE agency, ICE, and they don't sell ICE to Eskimos, they're supposed to be in charge of our border security. They actually told Zuckerschmuck to shut his mouth, dummy up, and get out of their way, or they're going to arrest them. They basically threatened them. They said, you're breaking the law. You're violating the law, Zuckerschmuck. You're making our Border Patrol agents, making their jobs impossible, Zuckermouth. Shut up, dummy up, be happy with your money, and I hope they arrest him, because he's aiding and abetting criminal aliens in criminal activities. If we lived in a sane nation, I don't care what his connections are to the White House, whether you like him or not is irrelevant, he's breaking the law by encouraging law-breaking. And if it was me running ICE, I would arrest Zuckerschmuck for aiding and abetting illegal aliens and illegal activities. That's number one. He is not there to set federal policy for me. He's one voter of many. I thought we're equal under the law as voters. But Zucker Schmuck wants to go around most citizens, and he's saying, oh, no, they should be granted amnesty. Well, let the voters decide. It's not up to Zucker Mouth. Who's ringing me in the middle of a show? See, this gets me so angry. It gets me so mad. People either call me during a show, or they email me during a show, or they fax me during a show. So therefore, let's talk about minimum wage. Here's what people write. Maybe they could do us all a favor and just not return to their jobs. Another one said, maybe someone can explain. Was a job in the fast food business ever meant to pay a full-time living wage? I always thought it was a way to make a part-time wage, extra money, and gain experience in the job market. See that? You catch that? On the other side, someone writes, with the lack of jobs, it's no longer just for part-time extra money. It's now a second or third job for people who are trying to survive. You see, all of this is true. All of this is true. Now, you can take the idiotic, knee-jerk Republican viewpoint, which you're going to get on this issue, from the obsessive compulsives in the media, who claim to be conservatives, are going to say, well, let the free market determine. Let the free market determine it. Well, the founding fathers wouldn't believe in a minimum wage. Why, the founding fathers didn't have no minimum wage. Why, they made candles and buggy whips, and why, they were happy for the work. They were happy patriots. No, those founding fathers were geniuses, and they certainly would be opposed to a minimum wage. All right, right. You know where that's coming from. You know what I think of those people who always wrap themselves in the founding fathers. But I'm talking about you. What do you think about this? The minimum wage is very real to those working for a minimum wage. And I believe that you are going to have opinions on this. Now, this is not the whole topic for tonight in the Savage Nation after Thanksgiving and before Christmas. The other topics are these. Should members of Congress be forced to pee in a cup and take drug tests? I know you say, what, are you crazy? I've been calling for it for 5 years. Today, strangely enough, a left-wing website, whose name I don't remember, run by some Greek heiress who married a rich guy and changed her name, came out calling for Congress to pee in a cup, that most Americans want Congress to pee in a cup to take drug tests. It may explain their behavior. It certainly could explain why their popularity rating is at about 4% right now. We basically think that we're looking at drug addicts who think they're getting away with murder, and they're not. No one believes a word any of them say. That's topic two. Now, there's three more topics. Topic three, World AIDS Day. We haven't started on that. Topic four, Obama and Catholic voters. Has Obama lost the Catholic vote by moving the Vatican embassy? That was such a huge story. And, you know, I often talk about liberal Jews on this show for various and sundry reasons. But what we never talk about in any depth, and it's very important, is the Catholic vote in America. It is the largest swing vote in the country. It's also generally liberal for reasons that I can explain to you, but no longer make sense. Like liberal Jewish people, liberal Catholic people, are stuck in the past. They still think it's the age of the triangle shirtwaist fire, and that they're all labor workers, you know, being exploited by the British. Their brains are all twisted up on this, and they think that anyone with a D next to their name is their buddy. So that's another story. Has Obama lost the Catholic vote? These are very important questions, and I don't just throw them out there just for fun. I put them out there for you to respond to them, and you better catch the one open line right now, because we're going to be sold out, as usual. Because I, Michael Savage, have the best stethoscope to the ear of the American heartbeat, and I'll be back in a minute to show you that. I'll prove it. I'll be back, I promise.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
It is the minimum wage. We're talking about the minimum wage. It's a very big topic. It's an important one. There's going to be a huge strike Thursday, which will affect everyone listening to the show one way or the other. The communist labor unions are trying to get all fast food workers to go walk off the job Thursday. Many of them will. Many of them won't, though, because they need that minimum wage. Think about this. If they go off the job for a day and they're supposedly hanging on the edge of their fingernail, right? And they lose one day's pay. Maybe they're not really living on the edge like they say they are. I mean, if they can afford to lose a day's pay to go on strike, in real communist countries, the unions pay them for that, for those lost wages. But the unions here are cheap. They want it both ways. They want to push the workers to strike, and they don't want to give the striking workers a dime. See, if the workers understood they're being exploited by the SEIU, if the workers understood they're just being used as cannon fodder by the bosses in the SEIU, they wouldn't go on strike. But that's not the issue today. The issue really is, what do you think about it? Is it time to retool the minimum wage into a living wage and make it $15 an hour? Or should CEOs have wage caps put on them? Should there ever be a cap on a CEO? That's a very big question that's separate from this. It'll never happen under Obama. Paradoxically, it might happen under a Republican. The Republicans are actually more liberal than Obama is when it comes to handling the very rich. You don't know that. Write that down. Send it to YouTube. The Republicans are more liberal when dealing with the very rich than Obama has been. Obama is owned and operated by the very, very powerful and rich who pay almost no taxes. But that's a whole separate topic. I mean, it's a very big question. I said I worked for minimum wage. Doesn't make me an expert, but I do understand it. I've worked in a factory. I know what it's like to work in a factory. It gives me a different perspective than you may think. And it makes me understand the horrors of working in a factory. It was the worst job I ever had in my life, but I was glad to have the job. Needed the money. In college, worked at an ice cream factory. The ice cream bars came running down the assembly line. You had a box. You had to put in 16 or 12 bars in a certain number of seconds if you missed it. The Italian pit boss who stood up on a platform would scream at you. See, they didn't have sensitivity training. He was like a Mussolini. He stood up there on his balcony. He may as well have had a whip. He'd stop the assembly line and scream at the worker who missed the box. He'd scream, "Audrey, you stupid moron! You're costing all your co-workers money, you idiot! Get your hands working and we'll throw you out of here." Now, those were the good old days.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-7282. Savage.
It is 33 minutes after the hour across America. Thank God all the time zones have the same minutes. What are we going to do if they change the minutes in the time zone? Imagine that. I can't even give the time. It's beautiful. I mean, it's a great time of year. Everyone's happy this time of year except us natural depressives who are happy all of the time. I could change Abe Lincoln's refrain from "you can fool some of the people some of the time and some of the people all the time, but you can't fool all the people all the time" to something quite different, which is, well, I'll work on it. There are people who are just miserable all the time. They're never happy, no matter what, no matter who the president is. You can blame all your problems on any politician you want, and you'd probably be right. By the way, in this case, there's almost no one to hang your heart on. No one to hang your heart on. Yeah. Insurers claim health website is still flawed. I don't even want to do it. I don't do Obamacare. Others do it 3 hours a day for 3 months in a row. You want to listen to that? I don't know. You need a brain transplant. The thing is, the system isn't working, and when it does work, it'll even be worse. You'll have the equivalent of Castro care. Now let's move on to the minimum wage, because this is going to affect a lot of people on Thursday when there's going to be a huge strike at fast food outlets. Now, whether you eat in fast food restaurants or not almost doesn't matter, because no matter where you go, you are employing in some ways a minimum wage worker. You're involved with the employment of, let's put it that way, a waiter in a restaurant, a busboy in a restaurant, a cook in a restaurant, a line cook in a restaurant, a vegetable chopper in a restaurant, a dishwasher in a restaurant, a gardener, a maid. They're all working at least for minimum wage in this country. Now, if they all went on strike, how would that affect them, their job, and the country? The commie unions want them on strike without saying. See, they're not explaining to these poor people that they're exploiting them. They want to fatten the union officers' pensions and pockets. It has nothing to do with the worker. Because if they really wanted to help the worker, they wouldn't be pushing them to $15 an hour wages. They're never going to get it, number one, because the businesses aren't going to do it in reality, and they can't afford it. And number two, they should be reimbursing them for lost pay, as was done in other ages when we had legitimate unions. But let's hear what you have to say about this. Let's begin in New York City on WABC. Chris, minimum wage is the topic. Your opinion, please.
Hi, Mr. Savage. Yeah, I just wanted to say, you know, I work in food service. I deliver food for a pizzeria. And, you know, I get paid, all my money's under the table, like your job you were talking about before. And
well, no, let's be clear. I don't get paid under the table now. It's when I was a kid in high school.
Oh, yeah, no, I meant when you were...
No, they're paying me actually by a check. They take out W-2 and everything. But, all right, so you get yours, what, they hire you for cash?
Yeah.
And are you happy with... I mean, not happy.
What,
what's your main point?
My main point is, you know, I'm still young. I have aspirations in life. You know, I have things I want to do with myself. And I think it's just that for this whole minimum wage subject, I mean, I personally think, you know, if it's on the ballot at the voting booth to raise the minimum wage, I feel inclined to vote for it, like, yes. But my whole point is, like, this whole idea was, like, these young people who work in fast food, they're being brainwashed to think, like, this is all you're ever going to do in your life. You're going to work at a fast food restaurant for the rest of your life. So you should push for more money. Is this all we're teaching people, that this is the best you're ever going to do in life? You know,
well, they're using the old Marxist stratagem, which is that we're going to increase aid to the working poor by raising the minimum wage. Okay, so you got nuts like Paul Krugman, a lifetime academic lunatic, who says that we should absolutely pass an increase to the federal minimum wage because it won't affect him, of course. He's not working for minimum wage. But they don't ask what it will do to the business. What will it do to the business?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, they act like these guys, like a company like, I don't know if I can say a restaurant on here, but just any fast
food. Now, look, truthfully, things have changed since my time as a teenager. The truth is, minimum wage jobs were done by kids. Today, kids generally don't work. They either all have bipolar disorder or they have agender disorder. They don't know whether they're man nor woman, fish nor fowl. They don't know whether they're animal, mineral, or vegetable. And they stay at home crying and sucking on their thumb, and they don't even want to work. That's the teenager of today. That's the young adult of today, if you can believe it. They're like toenail fungus to most of their parents. They can't get rid of them, no matter what they do. Thanks for the call. We haven't gotten anywhere with the question. All I've done is bash the lunatics in our society who are being... No, really, I don't like lazy people. They bother me. I don't like kids who stay home and don't work. I don't like kids who live off their parents' money. I don't respect families who make a lot of money and then don't require their children to work. I never did. I never would. I never raised my children that way. Thank God that they... They both worked very hard, then they're doing well on their own without me. I gave them the one thing I know how to give them, which is the value of work, hard work. To me, it's a religion. To me, hard work is a religion. And I'm not the only one. You laugh at me if you want. But I remember, and I still to this day know that work is actually, there's a dignity in work. There's a beauty in work. There's a certain survivability about working. And, you know, we're talking about a big picture now, minimum wage. I can make it into a bigger topic, which is work, number one. And most Americans look forward to retirement. I never did. I doubt that I will ever retire. What do you mean retire? From what? From being alive? How could I ever retire? And have you seen how people spend their retirement, how pathetic these ads are? The old white couples sitting on a cruise ship. With a glass of cheap, you know, swill in their hand, looking at the ocean, then going down and stuffing themselves on a cake. I mean, that's what you worked your whole life for? Good luck to you. There's 5-6 billion people on the planet. You can do what you want. It's a free world in America anyway. You want to spend your money that way, your retirement? I don't understand it. I don't understand how anyone could look forward their whole life to getting drunk and getting fat, and that's their whole existence, the whole reason to live. Where is it written, by the way? This whole thing about retirement and people belly aching. Oh, what am I going to do? The thing, the economy, man, I can't retire. Mary and I were going to go. Well, I don't care what you and Mary were going to do. Where's it written? You and Mary were supposed to, at age 50, have a retirement? What kind of world are you living in? What do you mean you're supposed to retire? Where in the U.S. Constitution or the Bill of Rights does it say that you only have to work to a certain age, and then after that you're going to sit on your behind and do nothing? Or go gambling. That's your dream job. Your dream, rather, in your retirement. Go to an Indian gambling casino and run around from a roulette wheel to a card game. That's it's so undignified, it's unbelievable to me. There's no dignity in America. Where is the dignity found in this country anymore? I'll tell you where the dignity is found. It's found in certain professions. It's found in certain lifestyles. And it's the opposite of everything Obama supports. I couldn't resist that. I could not resist that. Dignity is found in the military, in the combat units of the military. That's the greatest dignity. Dignity is found in the street cop who has to put on a bulletproof vest every day and doesn't know if he's going to come home at night. Dignity is found in the border patrol. Dignity is found in the pilot who flies you to friends and family. Dignity is found in an operating theater. Dignity is found in a classroom with a teacher who's really committed to it. So there is dignity in this country. Unfortunately, this government doesn't reward it. This government rewards the opposite of dignity. The opposite of dignity is rewarded. Every bum, every creep, every broken individual is held up like a role model. So it's no wonder the kids stay home like broken dolls claiming to have, I've got bipolar disorder. I've got this. I got that. I can't go to work. You made me wear a raincoat when I was 2 years old. It was yellow and they picked on me. That's the country. But let's go back to the minimum wage. That's all. You know, you say they're working for minimum wage. The illegal. Let's take an ordinary illegal alien working at McDonald's. Say, how could they live on $7.25 an hour? Though they work hard, we really respect them. Well, what you don't know is that there's someone at home in that family who's not working at all, who's collecting welfare, food stamps, benefits that may equal $25 an hour of tax advantages that you're paying for. So if the person's making $7 an hour as a minimum wage, I can guarantee you, as I sit here, in most cases, there's someone in that family making $25 an hour on benefits that they're not entitled to. That's one argument. And we can take your calls on this. 855-400-7282. Nathan in Daytona, Florida on WNDB. Go ahead, your opinion on the minimum wage. What's on your mind?
Good evening, Michael. Hey, dignified people always tuck their shirts in.
Oh, hold on. Yeah, I would make it illegal. I would make it illegal to have pants hanging down under a behind. I would arrest anyone who walks in the street like that. I'd have them arrested for public exposure.
I tuck my shirt in everywhere I go, and I look people in their eyes.
Maybe in 200 years, the archaeologists will find remnants of Homo sapiens from this period of existence on the planet, where they'll find like a belt that's still, you know, or a belt buckle that was underneath the pelvis, and they'll try to figure it out. Why? How do they hold up their trousers? They won't understand it.
Well, hey, my call tonight, I was just going to respond to the minimum wage. These companies, specifically the fast food companies, are absolutely waiting for the day the workers strike, because they got a warehouse full of robots. They're just waiting to wheel in. And
is that true? Do they really have robots that could sit in the window at Burger King and take my order?
Hey, they got a robot, Michael, that can put your text message into a phone and send it. They got a robot for just...
Hold on now. This is a family show, please. No, seriously, they do have they have robots that can do that?
Yeah, they have robots that can take your voice and transfer it to a text message. They have robots that can infer certain...
Let's say I pull up to a window. I'm a very picky fast food buyer, and I don't do it often, but I do it. So let's say every few months I have a craving for a burger. I'll drive up.
What's your order, please?
Okay. And I talk into the machine, and I tell it, it's very complicated. It's a very complicated order. I don't just say number four. I want a number four, but I want the, you know, I do, I want a number four, but I don't want this. I want no sauce. I don't want any salt. I don't want any pepper. I want a little extra this and put an onion on it and make sure it's cooked well and make sure the bun doesn't have cheese, but I don't want a lot of cheese. I want a little cheese and make certain there's no sauce, but I want the sauce on the side and I want the fries, but I don't want salt. They shouldn't be well done. And are you telling me, you're telling me a robot can get that order?
They're going to scan your face and say, that's Dr. Savage. He's
when you try that with illegal aliens. If you could ever get one of my orders completed properly, I'll give you $1,000. It's impossible. No matter, I usually order four different things because I'll get one of them correctly. If I simply say numero uno, it comes out right. The minute I go off script, it doesn't work. But let me ask you something. A robot could do most of that?
Of course. I mean, think about, let's just think about doing fries. Fries require a certain amount of time to cook, a certain temperature threshold, and there's got to be a volume measurement. So that right there is a simple order that we're paying someone to do. We can have a robot do all that. The only thing that would need, you'd need a human to be in there, probably a technical human, to be in there to fix the robot. And that's it.
But what? How about the food coming from the window to my car window?
I bet you they could get a drone to just drop it in the, you know.
No, they certainly could put in a conveyor belt from the kitchen area, couldn't they, with numbers on them?
People could just roll up and open their mouth, and it just rolls right in.
There you go. No, but they could certainly put in a conveyor belt with the numbers coming to the right car. Certainly, they could treat us like a goose being fed, force-fed, so they could create goose liver.
Number 23, Michael Savage. Thank you.
Thank you very much. This guy knows his stuff, I'll tell you that. But we still haven't gotten to the essence of the discussion, which is the biggest fast food strikes yet are coming this Thursday over the minimum wage. Now, of course, the doctrinaire left-wing fanatics are saying, ooh, those poor illegals, they need an increase. They need a living wage. We've got to help them. We're exploiting them. That's the knee-jerk liberals like Paul Krugman, who probably doesn't own a Krugerrand. I don't think Paul Krugman would know a Krugerrand from an American Eagle, but he writes columns on economics, and naturally he, like the president, I think, won some kind of prize from the Nobel people, the dynamite manufacturers. But they need an increase, this and that. Now, they will argue that inflation-adjusted wages for retail workers have gone down nearly 30% since 1973, leaving many of them to rely on food stamps and Medicaid for their most basic needs. So what they're saying is if you raise the minimum wage, they'll go off food stamps and they'll go off Medicaid. Well, that's a fallacious argument. Because I can guarantee you, no matter what you pay them, they're going to stay on food stamps and Medicaid. That's number one. Do you know what Obama has done to this economy? Well, you may have some idea if you're actually earning a living. You may not know how many people are now on food stamps. You don't know what percentage of the country is on food stamps. You don't know what percentage of people were on food stamps when Obama was foisted upon us. And now that Obama is ensconced in the White House, what the number is. I have those numbers for you. It's double. It's almost double, by the way, of those who depend on the government are now getting these benefits that they're not entitled to. The number of Americans on food stamps has not gone up 6.7%. It's gone up about 100% since Obama took office. What he's doing, in essence, is buying poverty workers as voters. In the old days, in the 1920s and 30s, in Chicago, when they wanted people to vote, they went and gave them little bottles of brandy to get the drunks to come out and vote. They got them off Skid Row. Today they give them food stamps. That's one man's opinion. I hope I didn't offend you. Sometimes the truth hurts. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282.
Hello.
It's twilight time. Sing along with Mike. Follow the bouncing idea. Well, wacky. Late shows are wackaroo. Gotta make that shift. It's coming up in like 3 weeks. A whole year I've been waiting for this. My whole life I've been building up for what's coming in January. You know, that's like the sine qua non of my entire life. Happens in January when I moved to a prime time. Doesn't matter how it ends up. I mean, I want it to be a hit. It'll probably be a hit with God's will and your listenership. But to be honest with you, this is it. This is the final stage for my show. It's the final stage of my radio career. We'll begin in earnest on January 2nd, so you should mark the calendar. You're not going to want to miss it. I may not even have a different show. It could be just like this, same exact show. I can't change anything, really. It's got to be me. I'm not going to have special effects, and I can't cross my legs and put on a new color lipstick. There's going to be no million-dollar lighting show, you know. That's for Fox News. Every 2 minutes, breaking news, another flash. You get Petite Mal watching it. Every second. How could there be so much breaking news on Fox? Every second. Whoom. Breaking news with a bing. Bing. What's the bing? What's the breaking news? What's the breaking news? Neil Cavuto had a... Oh, I should stop right there. It's a family show. Breaking news. Breaking news. Okay, whatever. So we're talking about the minimum wage right now. Should it be raised? What will it do? How do you feel about it? Because Thursday, you're going to hear about it. I'm just 3 days ahead of what's coming on Thursday when the fast food workers go on strike. Now, while we are talking about this, Germany is planning to ban a flat rate offer in their brothels. Germany's biggest political party, yes, like a minimum wage. Germany's biggest political parties have agreed to ban so-called flat rate sex offered by some brothels in the country. The move is part of a clampdown on Germany's booming prostitution industry that critics say has gotten out of hand since the 2002 law legalized sex work. They view as exploitive the special offers in some brothels where men can have unlimited sex for 100 euros. What do you mean unlimited sex? That's a strange one. I don't get that. German is going to ban flat rate offers in brothels because it's cutting into the income of the other hookers? This is amazing. Would you believe this? I heard of drag race, from drag racing to drag queens in one generation.
Savage. Warning. The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
Mike is now live. Mike is now live. Your mic is now live, Mike. Mike, your mic is live. And we're talking about the minimum wage. And there's going to be a strike on Thursday, whether you want it or not. Because the commie unions are pushing the minimum wage workers in the fast food restaurants to walk out. So, everyone will be talking about it on Thursday. We're talking about it on Monday. We're having a little panel discussion here with a panel consisting of myself and... however many people join the conversation. That's, you know, there's one open line at 855-407-282. Actually, there's three open lines at 855-407-282. I suppose many people are burned out from the weekend and they're not listening anymore. I don't know where they are. Is there a football game right now? What's on? I don't even know. Monday Night Football or Schmendrick's Watch. I don't know. What do they do on Monday? They're depressed. They're bored. They don't have the money for Christmas. They blew it all on Thanksgiving. They don't know where they're going to get the money to buy a present. That's life. It goes on. Nothing compared to what life really is. Nothing. Nothing. You have no idea how lucky we are. You have no idea how lucky we are in this country compared to the past, compared to other countries. It's so good. It's unbelievable. It's unbelievably good. I mean, you can get crazy. That could be better. And he's mismanaging. It's all true. But the fact of the matter is, it's an amazing country. Things are so good in this country. So good. I mean, of course, you get hit by this, you know, knockout job in New York if you're of the wrong race, for example. You want to get hit on the other side of the knockout game, and they'll make believe it's not racial. No. So all one or two races being picked on by one specific race. No, it's not racial. Oh, no. No racial. No, 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 no. Oh, it's all random, yeah. It's a random act of kindness. It's just the young people playing a game of tag. They got out of hand. The young people in Brooklyn are just picking on old Jews because they didn't mean to. It was an accident. After they get caught, they said they didn't even hit the woman. A 19-year-old strapping youth punches a woman 78 years old. He didn't actually hit her. She went down on her own. A flying matzo ball came from the moon like a meteorite and hit the woman. And right away, the liberals come running. Oh, he didn't touch her. He didn't mean to. He didn't do it. It was the air. It was by spontaneous combustion hit the woman. There's no racial incident. Don't even think about it. That's the world we live in. But, I mean, if you don't get hit in the face or whatever, or you weren't on that train the other day, it's a good country. Or you don't fly to North Korea, whatever. If you actually look at what Obama's doing to the country, you could take the gas pipe. with what he's doing with Iran. He said to Iran, go ahead, enrich, make my day enrich. Which side is he on? Is this guy working for the other team? It certainly looks like it to a number of intelligent people. He's now going to fly to Iran. Oh, no, he's denying it. Wasn't enough that he genuflected to the Prince of Saudi or the King of Saudi Arabia. If I live to see the day that he genuflexed to the mullahs in Iran, I will say that I've known for sure I was right. But nothing else would explain what he's doing. First, they send the drone to them, unscathed. Remember when we had the most advanced drone in the history of America and American military early on in Obama's administration? By some mystery, it was sent to Iran without a scratch on it. It was like buying a new Buick from the showroom delivered by Federal Express to Iran. I mean, I'm using a Buick as an example. Let's say the latest car in the world is delivered to the Iranian mullahs so they can reverse engineer it. Remember that? No one went to jail for that. Remember the 20-some-odd Marines sent to their death in an old helicopter? Nobody went to jail for that. Shall I go down the list? Have you forgotten all of the things? See, you could remember. Let me put it this way. The world is a good place. It's a nice time to be an American. But if you actually look at what this administration is doing, it's a bad world. And so it's hard to do this every night to talk about it because you can get very sick, depressed, anguished. And I don't want to do that to you. I don't want to do it. I don't want to be a Johnny, you know, like a just a, oh, everything's wonderful, everything's coming out roses. But, you know, you got to let it go at some point. You know, just let it go already. How much can you people take? They work all day, then they listen to talk radio. You think they want to, oh, Obamacare isn't working. Are you crazy? He said Obamacare would work. I told you it wouldn't work. It wouldn't work. It never worked. It won't work. The site's no good. It's no good. He's no good. They're no good. They proved it. It's no good. It's no good. It won't work. It can't work. I told you it's no good. Don't Obamacare. No good. No good. It won't work. It can't work. It never did work. He meant it not to work. He's an incompetent moron. Don't do it. It can't do it. He can't do it. Don't do it. It can't work. This is 3 hours a day for 3 months on conservative radio. How can you take it? I ask myself every day as I get up and say, I got to do a show tonight. I can't do it. I'm not going to do Obamacare. That's all. I'm just not going to do it. It's not my cup of tea. If that gets you off, you're a lunatic. If you get your jollies by bashing Obamacare, and you could do that 3 hours a day for 3 months, you deserve a minimum wage job. You shouldn't be in talk radio. You should be flipping burgers in Burger King, if that's all you could do on radio. This gift of the microphone and freedom of speech should entail something more than bashing Obamacare, as bad as it may be. That's what I think. That's my way of looking at things. That's all. Now, we know that the White House is the most hostile to the media in U.S. history. We know that it's a Soviet-style administration. That we know. We understand that. That we're living in a crypto dictatorship. You want to call it crypto? That's like a fancy word. People like to use those phrases like, oh, crypto, that's cool. I didn't hear that. It's like the Clover Pervin method. They don't even know what it is, even though that's not it. Or they learned the word Marxism from me 10 years ago when I started using it. Now everyone, Marx, 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 Marxist, Marx, 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 Marxism, Marx. It's Marxist, Marxism. Did you read Marx? He's a Marxist. Oh, he's a Marxist. They don't even know who Karl Marx was. Karl, Groucho, Harpo, doesn't matter to them. So here we are. I mean, how much can you take of this? I'm saying to myself every day. See, I'm moving on. Every night I move on. So tonight I'm moving on to the minimum wage. I'm moving on to the minimum wage. I think this is a more basic topic that will affect all of us and does affect all of us one way or the other. You look at the website. Look at CNN, that useless company. Paul Walker wasn't drag racing. I don't know who Paul Walker is. I don't care that he died in a car wreck. How many people die in car wrecks in America? 50-some-odd thousand? Who is this guy? Why have they made this into such a big story? Why? So they don't have to tell you that the media is onto the fact that we have the most hostile administration in American history, number one. And the most, possibly the most, well, let me stop right there. I said I wouldn't do it. So let's move on to another website. We'll go to the minimum wage in a second. I can read the weather reports if you like. He a dead Fast and Furious star. Who is he? I don't know who he is. I've no idea why I should care about him dying in a car wreck. Tell me about an Army Ranger who was killed in Afghanistan. and go on about it for 3 days, and I'll be interested. Tell me about the Army, the Navy SEALs who were put into that helicopter and killed that I wrote my novel A Time for War about. Tell me. Don't tell me about a movie star in a wreck. But I'm talking to myself. Okay? You want, I'll do Obamacare if you want. Never. I'll do Obamacare. Would you like me to do Obamacare? Not. Would you like me to do Obamacare? I won't. I will not do it. Christy now. I don't want to look at Christy. Not interested in Christy. Lawsuit demands legal personhood for chimpanzees. Okay, we'll let that one go. Yeah, I saw that story earlier. Not interested. Christie's bizarre behavior could undermine... What do you mean bizarre behavior? That's being put out by Cuomo. Cuomo's putting it out. What bizarre behavior? Trying to smear him right away because he's got a competitor. Cuomo knows Christie could wipe the floor with him in a debate, number one, and he'd win for the presidency. It's Jersey versus New York. It's the Jersey boys versus, you know, let it go with that, okay? Christie could wipe the floor with Cuomo in a head-to-head race for the presidency. Right now, it's over. So he's undermining Christie already. Bizarre behavior. What, he ate too many hamburgers at one sitting? What do you mean bizarre behavior? He uses taco sauce on a cheeseburger? What do you mean bizarre behavior? If you read the story, there's nothing there. Nothing. Tally of banks sinks to record lows. Small lenders are having the hardest time with new rules. Blah, 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 blah. But, you know, I wanted to talk about something else. Real estate I wanted to talk about. I know a bit about real estate. I want to do a show on real estate one night on how people are staging houses and what mistakes they're making. You can't believe it. I live in the funniest city in the world with regard to staging. I don't know who does this stuff. I meant to talk about the minimum wage. It looks like guys on minimum wage who are like, they went to like the minimum wage interior decoration school. They're stagers. That's what it looks like to me. I'll give you an example. Okay, minimum wage interior school of decoration, $7 an hour. You look at high-end real estate in the Bay Area, right, which I do for a hobby. Let's put it that way. So let's say you go to an old, beautiful mansion on Pacific Heights. The most expensive zip code in America is 94115. And you like to look at houses. So what's going on now amongst the minimum wage realtors and the minimum wage stagers is really laughable. It just shows you how out of town these people are. They think they're sophisticated because they can say Provence. They think they're sophisticated because they say macchiato instead of coffee like their father. They're geeks. They're out-of-towners. I never saw anything like it. So you go into a mansion that's for sale where the old dowager died, let's say, 3 years ago. She keeled, and the relatives are trying to sell off her house. So look what the minimum wage realtors and minimum wage stagers are doing. They think that the demographic they're going to sell it to is the dot-com schmucks. The 25 to 27-year-old putzes who know nothing, who are buying up real estate, are going to buy this house. So what are they doing? They're staging it with the most bizarre furniture you've ever seen. Doesn't match the old house, the mansion. They're painting over beautiful scroll work on the walls so that the putz, the 27-year-old imagined putz who might buy it, isn't offended by the filigree, the gold filigree on the beautiful molding. They're taking down crystal chandeliers, in some cases, baccarat crystal chandeliers, and hiding them like a bad relative, and putting up a lampshade in a dining room to make it look cool for the hipster moron who made money by accident, by being in the right place at the right time, and they're not selling the house. I swear to God, just go onto a website that shows some of this real estate, and then tour the houses even on the web. You can't believe the furniture they're putting in. Then you got the minimum wage interior decorators who, as you well know, probably hate women, don't have children of their own. You should see what they do in the imaginary children's room. If you put an actual child in the children's bedroom that these minimum wage interior decorators in San Francisco invest their brilliant creativity, the child would probably need Adderall within 48 hours and a straitjacket within 3 days to live in such a room. Nobody has a anyone who has a child doesn't put him in a room like that. You know, this is too, it's too abstract. You have to see it to believe it. You must go online, you must tour some of the mansions, and you must see the bastardization of some of these beautiful old homes by this current crop of know-nothing realtors and minimum wage home what do they call them, stagers. Where they get this junk furniture from, I don't know. They take down the crystal chandeliers. They remove beautiful ornate mirrors. They paint over moldings. They put in carpets that are have bizarre, like flaming designs in them for the younger demographic. So you talked about minimum wage. That's what they deserve is a minimum wage. 855-4ers, don't call me on this. I got distracted. My ADD clicked in. I may have it for all I know. What do I know? Look, after all these years, PhD, two master's degrees, published 28 to 30 books, family, still alive, still healthy. But according to today's diagnostic manuals, I probably have 5 or 6 different illnesses. And if I were a child today, I wouldn't have stood a chance. They would have drugged me to death and probably told my mother something was wrong with me because I was too creative. Couldn't sit still. Right away, that's a disease. Why didn't I sit still? 3 reasons. The teacher was a moron. I knew everything she was teaching me. Her perfume was getting me sick. It gave me a migraine headache. That's why I didn't sit still. I jumped up out of the chair. Today they drugged me. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now. 855-400-SAVAGE. 855-400-7282. Savage.
What are... It is the Savage Nation. By the way, there's a picture of my dog, Teddy, a painting of him on my website that's astounding. MichaelSavage.com. People say, what a great photograph. My friend Dimitri painted it. He's a fine artist from Russia. You can't believe it. I only met him recently. And you've got to see this painting of my dog. Everyone says, I can't believe. You talk about fine art. I mean, I know art. I grew up in it. And I know the fakers out there are, you know, legion in America. This guy can paint. You talk about 50 Shades of Grey in my dog's coat. You go look at the picture. One day I'll talk about dogs and paintings and bronzes and clocks and baccarat crystal. I mean, I'll do a whole show on antiques, one of my hobbies. And then one day I'll do a whole show on my background as an ethnobotanist, and I'll use phrases of plants such as Spondius dulcis and Entata fasciolides. You know, not to impress you, but there's so many interesting subjects other than Obama in the world. It's like a starvation. It's like the Gobi Desert talk radio. It's like walking on hot sand all day long, Obamacare. How could anyone take that? Don't call me on that. Indiana, we're talking about the minimum wage. Lisa, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Hi.
Lisa, what's your point? Go ahead, please.
You talk about minimum wage, and I make $9.90 an hour. I have to work about 130 hours in 10 days. And then I'm off for like 4 days.
But Lisa, what kind of work do you do for that $9.90 an hour?
Oh, EMT, emergency medical technician. I work on an ambulance.
So you actually help people who are falling in the streets. You do a real job, in other words, and you're making only less than $10 an hour for that.
Right, yeah, we go into all kinds of situations. I mean, we've been into houses when they go pick up a dead body, but they were actually murdered, and, you know, or you get...
Well, the EMT workers in San Francisco have one of the worst jobs I've ever seen. They have to deal with the human refuse, by and large, who won't help themselves, don't want to be helped. They risk getting jabbed with a needle or spat upon or AIDS-infected blood thrown in their eyes. It's unbelievable. I'm sure you face that as well. And all that for $9.90 an hour, huh, Lisa?
Right, and we do it because we love what we do.
Thank you very much. You're one of the heroes. That's what I'm trying to say. The quiet heroes that don't complain out there. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now. 855-400-SAVAGE. 855-400-7282. Savage.
Attention, the rumors are true. The Savage Nation is moving. Listen to me, Michael Savage, starting January 2nd at noon. Noon, right here on Hot Talk 560 KSFO. We are having a conversation about the minimum wage because on Thursday... all of the fast food restaurants are going to be struck by the commie unions who are exploiting the illegal alien workers and telling them to walk off the job. It's perfectly legal, but they don't know what might happen. See, if the unions were as legitimate as they once were. And by the way, I was once a member of a union. I was a teacher, as a teacher's union. I was a welfare worker today. They call it something else. I was a member of a union of some kind. So it's not all unions are bad, but today they become something different than what they were in my day. They exploit the worker. They don't help the worker. If they really wanted to help the worker and they wanted them to go on strike for a higher wage, well, what they do is they, let's say, compensate them for the lost wages. Yeah, sure. Yeah. The day they do that is the day Indian casinos will pay a federal income tax on their income. Lance, on KLIF, on the worker strike coming up on the minimum wage this Thursday, what's your opinion out of Texas? Go ahead, please.
Hi, Mike. Thanks for taking my phone call. I'm all for the worker strike. I haven't eaten a hamburger in 10 years over at those places. I don't want to be involved in their slave labor scam might get salmonella poisoning. These corporate clowns, they could care less about you and me. They put rat poisoning in our food if they knew they could make a buck at it.
Well, let's not get carried away. You were saying everyone in the corporate world would poison you if they could? They're that villainous?
Look at all the salmonella poisoning breaks that have broken out throughout the country. Think about that.
Wait, you're saying it's now you're bordering though on the paranoid if you're saying that it's on purpose though.
Well, no, but they hire slave labor. They hire these indentured servants, and of course they're not going to be very professional at their food. They hardly make anything. They're just barely getting by.
So you're implying that the reason there are foodborne illnesses to a certain extent is because the wages are too low and the people are basically peasants or dumb or whatever and don't care or don't know any better. Well, I mean, that's your implication, isn't it?
I'm sorry.
So are you in favor of the strike or against it, the worker strike on Thursday? I guess that's the question.
Strike. I think it's a long time coming, and there's no they're not asking for government intervention. They're doing this on themselves. They're brave.
So what is it that you think should come out of the strike? Should they be getting $15 an hour?
Absolutely. Absolutely. If they
can, wait, what do you mean absolutely? Who's going to pay it?
If they can do it, they should get it.
Wait a minute. What do you mean if they can do it? A business runs on profit and loss on a balance sheet. So if they raise the wage from $7.25 to $15 an hour for millions of workers, that's millions of dollars an hour in wages that will go into the balance sheet in the negative, and the company may lose money. You can't expect a company to stay in business if they do that, can you?
Well, this argument has been going on for years. I mean, think about the coal miners when they struck for dangerous conditions. You know, the big corporations were saying the same thing back then. They were going to lose money if they had to pay these guys anymore for risking their lives.
Okay, so what should the wage be? $45 an hour?
Oh, no.
$50 an hour? $100 an hour? What should the wage be? How do you determine what a wage should be?
$15 an hour is reasonable, I believe.
Well, wait, why is that reasonable? Where'd you come up with $15 an hour? How did you derive at $15 an hour?
Well, because then the workers wouldn't have to take welfare checks. So they wouldn't have to take food stamps.
You think that they would stop taking welfare and food stamps in the back end when they're, let's say the worker's working in there and they have a wife at home who has five children and they're taking WIC and food stamps and this. Who's going to stop the wife from taking it under another name? You think you're going to see a decrease in food stamps or a decrease in welfare? I don't. Not at all. They're going to take every dime they can get. That's the way the world works. They're going to take every nickel they can get. So I think I think your argument is invalid in terms of cutting down on the food stamp ripoff. But you see, you raised an issue, which is you say $15 an hour is fair. Where did you derive that it's fair? How does that become fair?
Look, we have to have certain wages in order to live. I mean, minimum wages. Are these people who are making...
Hold it. A minimum wage was never intended to be a living wage. It was supposed to supplement the income, let us say, of teenagers in America. That has changed with the advent of illegal aliens who are primarily working in the food service industry, who are counting on the wage as a primary wage. That's a given. That's because most teenagers today are lazy bums and don't want to work altogether. They sit at home and play video games and they're on drugs. So they're no longer in the labor force. So you don't have a kid who's going home to mommy's cooking at night. Maybe you have a man who's working three jobs on the minimum wage today. But you see, you're living in a capitalist society. And while the worker has the right to strike, the business owner has the right to hire somebody at a lower wage. Do you recognize that as well?
Yeah, absolutely.
Let's take an example. Let's say the McDonald's or the Burger King or KFC near you. You go in there Thursday and the workers are outside with signs, but the business is open and suddenly there's a whole group of other people working because the owner was wise enough to hire a labor organizer who went out. You know, there are groups of illegals. They stand on corners looking for construction jobs, don't they?
Right.
I've seen them all over here in the Bay Area. San Rafael, they line up in the street here. They come out of the Canal District. They're here illegally, and they look for work. So what if the owners of these businesses sent a truck out and picked up these guys and put them into the burger stand? It wouldn't be as efficient, but I'll bet you that they could get the burger served, and maybe they could pay them $5 an hour or whatever the state minimum wage is. They might be able to get them for less money, and that's actually how the system is supposed to work. It's what the market will bear. It's the same with the cost of goods and the cost of labor. It's what the market will bear. It's not what people think they should get. That's something that academicians who are all communists believe, that there's some fairness in the world. And they come up with these numbers. They sit there on tenure. They work 4 hours a week, and they tell you what to pay your worker. It's all well and good, but then the business goes out of business. And then the tax base goes down. And then all of a sudden, the genius professor on tenure there doesn't have an income. They cut back on the university's income because the taxpayers don't have the money to send anymore to the bums teaching Karl Marx 101 and Vladimir Lenin, 302. In one man's opinion, that's all. So I see both sides of this. They have the right to strike, and the owner of the burger stand has the right to hire people to work for them. They're not union workers. The union's trying to organize them, you understand. So the way to cut this off is to go to one of these hiring halls or go out to the street if you own a little business, a burger stand, and go hire 15 illegal aliens and pay them the minimum wage. And you'll probably, one of your supervisors who speaks Spanish will stay on the job, and they could teach them what to do. Tell them, stick this in the fryer and stick that in the thing, and then you'll stand there and do the chain, and that's the end of it. It won't be perfect, but you'll stay in business. And the next day, those who went on strike will come back begging for their job, and maybe there won't be a job. That's the way it works. Now, a government is not supposed to enter into the business of wage and price controls. You understand that. That's anathema to a system such as ours. This has been a real hot-button issue since the beginning of time in this country. Let's say modern times, however far back you want to go. A government doesn't set wages and prices. The market sets wages and prices. And people have the right to strike, absolutely, unless it's a critical industry. That's where the government steps in and says, no, you can't. For example, Ronald Reagan stepped in when the, who were those guys at the airports? The radar, whatever you call them. I don't even remember. Traffic and air traffic. The guys who play porno and order pizza. The pizza orderers and the air traffic controllers, God bless them, they do a great job. They were going to go on strike, and Reagan said, no, you're not. You're not shutting off our domestic air system. It's a national security issue, and he was right. And he stepped in, and that was that. And, cooling off period. I learned all of this in high school. A government's supposed to step in and try to control the strike, give them a cooling off period to work out the wages, but you don't shut an industry down if it's a critical industry. I wouldn't say that the burger industry is a critical industry. So therefore, the government has no place in this. But the free market has the right to hire non-citizens, since you're not allowed to ask a person's country of origin. That's the new watchword in America, right? I mean, what's fair is fair. We're told never to ask a person's country of origin. If you're a policeman and you see five illegal aliens who you know are illegal aliens driving around with 30 pounds of cocaine in the trunk, and you know it's cocaine because the trunk popped open, you're not allowed to stop them because you may offend them ethnically. So you've got to let them drive and deliver the cocaine because the cops can't ask their country of origin. Now, by the same token, you follow the logic or don't you? By the same token, since you can't ask anyone their country of origin in this crazy country of ours anymore, the guy who owns the burger stand has every right to go out on the street, go look at the guys who are sitting around looking for work. And they are looking for work. They're hard workers. They come up from Mexico. They come across the border. And right away, they stand on the street. They hang around all day. They're looking to do backbreaking work for minimum wage. And they're exploited every day by contractors, pay them under the table, pay them next to nothing. They exploit them. We know that. Have you ever seen how hard these people work? Bye. I admire that, man. I admire work. You can hire them. Put them into the burger stand. You give them the white hat. You give them the apron. You tell them Labos Los Manos, you know, your basic rules. You show them where the bathroom is. They got to wash their hands before they serve the burger. You give them Labos Los Manos. You give them this or that. And they'll do it on Thursday. They could serve a burger. How hard is that? You could teach a guy. They're not just because the guy is illiterate in English and illiterate in Spanish doesn't mean that he's stupid. He never had an education. He could be a very bright man. He could be Einstein. I mean, that's what the liberals tell you. Every one of those workers standing in the street, if they're only given the opportunity you were given, would be an astronaut. Ask Obama. An astronaut, a brain surgeon. It's only because of racism that they're all not brain surgeons and astronauts. Every ad shows, you get the picture. So what goes around comes around. So I'm saying, therefore, don't ask them their country of origin. Hire them and pay them a minimum wage. You know, stay within the law. Pay their wages and pay whatever other, you know, wage-associated minimums, taxes are required. And then when your workers come back on Friday, tell them, no, sir, you're fired. We replaced you. And that would put an end to the SEIU trying to unionize fast food workers. Do you agree with me or disagree with me? I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
All right, the topic is still, should we raise the minimum wage? Because on Thursday, there are fast food strikes aimed at 100 U.S. cities by the communist unions, primarily the union that has agitated the most in this country to elect Obama, the SEIU. They're a very dangerous and very powerful force in this country, and they want to unionize burger workers, etc. It's a very big, it's a big story, protesting fast food workers. We've been talking about it. Raise the minimum wage. The question is, how much should it be raised? Can businesses afford it? What do you think about that? KCMO, Perry, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Hey, Dr. Savage, thanks for letting me on. My point is this. Money's become such a controlling factor in our society, and this debate goes back and forth on whether to raise minimum wage or not. And in our current paradigm, I think it's not necessarily the right thing to do. But to me, if you back up and look at the bigger picture, money's constraining us in almost every aspect of our society. And when are we going to wake up to that fact and do something about it?
I don't know what you're getting at. What do you mean, do something about it? You mean give out free money to everyone?
Well, not free money per se, but
isn't welfare free money for lazy bums?
No, I think everybody has.
Isn't a food stamp food for lazy people who don't deserve it? Where'd this come from that they're entitled to free food? What do you mean food stamps? For who? You think they're all starving to death?
No.
On the one hand, we hear that there's an obesity epidemic in America. Then the same liberals talk out of the other side of their mouth that they need food stamps to go buy the government cheese.
I didn't bring up food stamps at all. My point is, when are we going to wake up to the fact that we're letting money hold us back? I mean, we don't have.
What do you mean by hold us back? I don't know what you're getting at, sir. What is it you're suggesting? The topic is very simple. Should the minimum wage be raised? That's really the issue.
And again, I'm trying to take it up to a little bit higher topic because I think.
Well, of course, you're much smarter than I am. You'll have to forgive me for not being able to follow you. I realize you operate in the stratosphere of high finance. So I'm trying my best to follow you, but you haven't made a point yet.
My point is, if we would wake up to the fact that money is holding us back and do something about it, I think we would make the world a lot better place.
Well, what do you suggest we do about it? Print money and give it out to people?
Not per se, but I think.
Well, why not? Your government's doing that. Obama's been printing money. That's his whole whole modus operandi, the genius. He is so smart. This extreme being, Barack Obama, is so brilliant that he figured out if you keep printing money, you can keep floating the government. He's doing just what you said. He's printing money. It has no basis in reality. There's no gold tied to it. It has no value. He gives it out to all of the poor so they vote for Democrats. He's a genius. He figured out how to keep everything running and how to get Democrats elected. What more do you need? So he's doing what your dream should be done. Give everybody something for nothing. Then they'll come, they'll beat a path to your door. When I grew up, I was told if you build a better mousetrap, they'll beat a path to your door. So people try to figure out how to invent something, create something, write something, create a piece of music, build a house that's nicer, make your house look better than the guy next door. Someone will buy it. But no, no, not anymore. Now Obama's figured it out the other way. He's reverse engineered the entire society. The less you do, the more he rewards you. The worse you are, the more he has sympathy for you. See, that's the way it works. And look at this. The Democrats are still in business. It hasn't worked against them. At least that's one man's opinion. WMAL in Washington, D.C. Daniel, you have the last point, I think, tonight. I'm not sure if we have time, but fire away.
Look, I just want to say, for me, it's not about the minimum wage or the workers themselves. This is born out of Axelrod and his street agitators. They're basically setting a stage in the political arena for another like 99% rally.
Yes. So in other words, it's the Axelrod Alinsky School of Agitation. They're trying to bring chaos in the streets so that we forget all of Obama's incompetence and all of his scandals. That's one measure of what Axelrod and Alinsky are trying to do. Alinsky's dead, of course, but Alinsky lives on through Axelrod. Let's put it that way. We'll call him the double-A theory of street agitation.
Right, and for the next year, we're going to hear the demonization of corporate America, discrimination
yes.
against blacks, discrimination...
Yeah, you go. Discrimination against Hispanics, yeah. What else? Women, minorities, gays, right. All day long, day and night. Agitate the base. Is that what they're doing to get them to vote Democrat? I guess so. Yeah, I guess so. Main topic today was minimum wage. We haven't touched the other topics. Today was World AIDS Day. Obama gave a big speech on that. I thought he was talking about war heroes. I tuned in late, and I thought he was talking about American men who sacrificed their lives in the war on terror. And you got to hear clip 11. If you heard this, wouldn't you think it was the war on terror? Play clip 11.
That's the world I want for my daughters. That's the world that all of us want for our families. And if we stay focused, if we keep fighting, and if we honor the memory of those that we've lost, if we summon the same courage that they displayed by insisting on whatever it takes, however long it takes, I believe we're going to win this fight.
See, and now, if I heard that cold, I did. I thought he was talking about our war heroes. No. He was talking about AIDS. I had no idea. You can't. I heard it out of context. Pardon me. He was saluting those in the AIDS, not the American military. I didn't know if he had as much belief in those in the military who died for America's freedoms. Wow, what a country! But no, I was mistaken. I tuned in late. I had no idea he was talking about a disease. I didn't know. No idea whatsoever. There's no way to know. You know, you're a busy man. You tune around. You don't know what the man is talking about, but he was so somber and so serious, and it was about the future and the children. I would have thought it was about the Navy SEALs that were sent to their death in that helicopter. How did I know?
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-7282. Savage. Warning, the Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, the Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
Well, you made it to hour number three tonight on the Savage Nation, and believe it or not, it's December. What is today's date? The 2nd of December? Whoa! 2013. Let's go to michaelsavage.com, where you should go every day to see what's going on. On the top right, you'll see a painting of my dog, Teddy, who is quoted as saying, "Thank God I was not born a turkey." It's a painting of Teddy. It's not a photograph. People said it's impossible. My new friend painted this. Thank God I was not born a turkey. You want to see art in an age of artlessness? Take a look at that painting of Teddy. And mark your calendars. It's only a few days away, a few weeks really. January 1, 2014, I will no longer be heard at this time on this station. I will be heard at a different time on this station. January 1, 2014, the Savage Nation moves to primetime drive time. Mark the date. Meanwhile, in the news, U.S. calls Netanyahu desperate and weak. How's that for shafting Israel? Yeah, okay. Go tell that to the synagogues. Is Obama about to sell out America to the illegal aliens? You betcha. What else is in the news on michaelsavage.com that you may be interested in? Obama and Kerry are empowering Iran with sloppy diplomacy. Obama's secret Iran deal included releasing a nuclear scientist over the last few months behind everyone's back. Too little, too late. Saudi Arabia and Iran both have access to nuclear weapons. Did you hear about that? Obama setting off a nuclear arms race in the Middle East. Meanwhile, in Saudi Arabia, they've sent home 50,000 illegal workers. They were flown home after a crackdown on illegal aliens in Saudi Arabia. While here, our president welcomes tens of millions. Animal lovers warned about pets on planes. Did you hear about this? On Thursday, fast food workers in 100 cities are going to walk off the job to push for a higher minimum wage. The illegal alien workers say they can't live on $7.25 an hour. Of course, they make a dollar a day in Mexico, but don't tell them that. And of course, if they can't live on $7.25 an hour, how come they're sending $15 to $25 billion a year to their home countries a year out of the American economy without being able to live on it? That's the part I don't understand. But nevertheless, the communist unions are pushing the workers out of their job, and they want $15 an hour. Now, the question is, will this be effective? And would you pay $10 for a McDonald's hamburger should they succeed? Because remember, the money has to come from somewhere. In other words, if you're going to have a wage hike, minimum wage hike, by the end of the year, and it goes from $7 an hour or $7.25 an hour, some places $8.25 an hour, California, San Francisco, $11 an hour, the SEIU, who put Obama in office, along with other radical leftist unions of that kind, are trying to push the workers into this strike. In other words, they're organizing it. And the question is, what do you think about the minimum wage? Should it be raised? Now, the first instinct from the knee-jerk conservatives is, oh, no, Mike. No, we'll go broke if we raise their, if we raise the minimum wage. Why, we'll go out of business. That's the knee-jerk conservative answer. The knee-jerk liberal. The knee jerk. I need some jergens on my hands. My skin is dry. So the knee jerk liberal answer is, oh no, they need a living wage. Okay, well, who's going to pay for the living wage is always the question. That's topic number one. Now, this is being organized by Fast Food Forward and Fight for 15. Union-backed effort by low-paid workers, including many Walmart workers and workers for federal contractors that seek to raise the minimum wage to $15 an hour. Now, the federal minimum wage is now $7.25. And what this will do is a questionable thing. Backers of the movement for higher pay point to studies saying that the average age of fast food workers is age 29, that it's not really an entry-level job anymore. People say that the minimum wage was originally created for kids going to high school to do odd jobs, which is true. I once worked for minimum wage. I didn't live on it. I lived at home. I made 75 cents an hour, and I was glad to have the job, by the way. And I told you that story many times of what happened when a city inspector came in, because the pharmacist who was paying me 75 cents an hour was cheating me, and I was off the books. I was glad to have the job off the books. I didn't know I was a criminal. I had no idea the poor little pharmacist trying to make a buck and survive in Queens, New York. He gave this kid, me, a job in high school. And around this time of year, Christmas, Thanksgiving, he'd sell a lot of the garbage on the shelves in addition to the pharmacies. He'd sell the lotions, preparations, the gifts, in other words. The crap, the lime water that people bought in those days. Oh, my God, what garbage. An entire generation of autoimmune disease sufferers resulted from those. Nevertheless, they sold them, you know, the scents and the soaps, and it went like crazy. So he hired a kid, me, 75 cents an hour. The minimum wage at that time was a buck and a quarter. He paid me 75, and I was glad to have the 75 cents an hour. I needed the money. It supplemented my income. I had no income. I lived at home. What do you mean supplemented my income? I felt rich. And I always put money away in the bank. I was one of the kids who always had a bank account. I remember to this day, on Union Turnpike in Queens, there was a bank called Bankers Trust Company. Who knows where they are today? They're probably all pushing daisies. But I proudly walked around with my little bank book. And I remember when it kept, $600, $700, $800. I thought I was a billionaire. I had an $800 account when I was a kid. I thought I was a billionaire. I had no idea what money was. But every dime was earned and put away. Okay, so now we'll come back down to the wire here. They're gonna walk off the job. Your favorite burger flippers are leaving their work on Thursday. Fast food strikes aim at 100 U.S. cities. Communists are happy. They're pushing them. They don't realize they're pushing them over the cliff. The illegal aliens are being pushed over the cliff by the white liberal communists. You don't know that yet, but you'll find out very soon. The communist labor unions are trying to get all fast food workers to go walk off the job Thursday. Many of them will. Many of them won't, though, because they need that minimum wage. Think about this. If they go off the job for a day and they're supposedly hanging on the edge of their fingernail, right, and they lose one day's pay, maybe they're not really living on the edge like they say they are. I mean, if they can afford to lose a day's pay to go on strike, in real communist countries, the unions pay them for that, for those lost wages. But the unions here are cheap. They want it both ways. They want to push the workers to strike, and they don't want to give the striking workers a dime. See, if the workers understood they're being exploited by the SEIU, if the workers understood they're just being used as cannon fodder by the bosses in the SEIU, they wouldn't go on strike. But that's not the issue today. The issue really is, what do you think about it? Is it time to retool the minimum wage into a living wage and make it $15 an hour? Or should CEOs have wage caps put on them? Should there ever be a cap on a CEO? That's a very big question that's separate from this. It'll never happen under Obama. Paradoxically, it might happen under a Republican. The Republicans are actually more liberal than Obama is when it comes to handling the very rich. You don't know that. Write that down. Send it to YouTube. The Republicans are more liberal when dealing with the very rich than Obama has been. Obama is owned and operated by the very, very powerful and rich who pay almost no taxes. But that's a whole separate topic. I mean, it's a very big question. I said I worked for minimum wage. Doesn't make me an expert, but I do understand it. I've worked in a factory. I know what it's like to work in a factory. It gives me a different perspective than you may think. And it makes me understand the horrors of working in a factory. It was the worst job I ever had in my life, but I was glad to have the job. Needed the money. In college, worked at an ice cream factory. WABC Ronald, welcome to the program. You're on the Savage Nation.
Well, Mr. Savage, thank you very much for taking my call. I appreciate it. I'm a Catholic. I find it quite destructive that the Pope chooses to bash a system, namely capitalism, which has really preserved so many Catholic lives, but then chooses to hail socialism, which has been responsible for so many Catholic deaths and really so many deaths in the world. I find it quite as an anomaly, really, that he...
Well, you have to understand that he is the first non-European pope in 1,300 years. So he has a different perspective than you may have, and he reflects the influence of liberation theology, which is fundamentally socialist.
Does he not see how vicious socialists have been and are indeed?
No, I'm sure he lives in a cloister. I'm sure he lives in his own cloister in that sense. He is probably a very fine man, but politically rather naive. This speech, by the way, is worthy of great discussion within the Catholic Church. For him to slam the tyranny of markets and the idolatry of money, those are fighting words in this time when we're fighting a government that is unto itself socialist. Thank you very much for at least bring it up in your church on Sunday. Ask your priest what he thinks about the Pope's homily, if you call it a homily. Pope Francis decried the unfettered capitalism that has, quote, created a new tyranny. Do you hear this? And an idolatry of money in the first major work as pontiff. I'll read it to you. He says, just as the commandment, thou shalt not kill, sets a clear limit in order to safeguard the value of human life today, we also have to say, quote, thou shalt not to an economy of exclusion and inequality. Such an economy kills, Francis wrote in his apostolic exhortation, which amounts to a platform for his papacy. An economy that kills? This is astounding. This is just astounding. I mean, I am speechless, almost speechless. Sherwin on WABC.
Thank you for having me. With your permission, I'd just like to discuss some of the comments you made regarding Iran and the lack of outrage in America by the Jewish population.
Oh, please do. That's a shocker.
I'm a Iranian Jew. I was born in America. I'm a first American, first generation American.
Mm.
I can tell you that in our community, there's definitely a lot of outrage, especially with Obama and a lot of the things he's done, especially with his policies towards Iran's nuclear program. We have sort of a lack of understanding about why American Jews who are not from a Sephardic background who aren't able to comprehend sort of the threat that exists out there and the issues that Jews could face in this country, regardless of their background, should there ever be a situation where they find themselves in a position where they need to leave this country. And I don't think that they'll be able to.
I should tell you point blank that men like Chaim Sabin and the other powerful billionaires of Hollywood let it enter their mind that they would ever be in trouble in this country, ever. They could never perceive such an eventuality. And they give speeches that are completely fallacious, that Obama has ended the war in Iraq, ended the war in Afghanistan, and he has made the world safer through his deals with Iran. How could an Israeli Jew say a thing like that? How is it possible that an Israeli-American Jew would say a thing like that in a fundraiser in his own home to a president who just stabbed Israel in the back? How could he say that? I don't think it's about Jewish people or about ethnicity right now. It's about the fact that Obama has thrown an ally to the wolves, and the question is who's next. It came out today that while Obama was handing over the right to build a nuclear weapon to Iran, without, by the way, Congress's involvement, Iran had Iranian missile technicians secretly visiting North Korean technicians to develop a new rocket booster for long-range missiles or space launchers. This is at the same time nuclear talks were taking place in Geneva. So you have to ask yourself, is John Kerry and is Barack Obama, are they traitors? What are they doing? How could they do this? What do they want to happen? I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Hello.
Now, there's another factor to the minimum wage that we should talk about. Older workers are increasingly entering the fast food industry. You don't know this. People over 65, some of them are working 2-3 jobs at minimum wage, and they're happy to have the job. They want the $7 an hour. They need the money. There are 55,000 fast food workers in New York City alone, and many of them, they say, will go on strike. And so the question is, what do you think about it? How do you feel about this topic? Should the minimum wage be raised by Congress? Period. That's the first question. Number two, what will happen if the minimum wage is raised? I know people in the restaurant business say they will go broke. They won't go broke. They'll earn less of a profit. Some of the smaller restaurants may become marginal and go out of business altogether. It's a very small margin. And, of course, how do you calculate a minimum wage for a waiter? Obviously, they're living on tips and a minimum wage, right? So if a guy is making a minimum wage plus tips, how do you calculate what the minimum wage should be? Now, it is true most people don't tip in fast food restaurants. I do. I'm one of the few. Because I was once a minimum wage worker, I always leave money for them, and they're shocked. Why shouldn't I? Was it going to hurt me to leave them a buck or the change? Is it going to hurt you to leave them a dime? The day a liberal leaves the 3 cents that's in the cup on the tray when they buy the burger is the day I'll become a Democrat. The day a commie leftist from Marin County leaves 3 cents for a fast food worker is the day I'll believe a word that they say out of their drooling mouth. So anyway, here we are. It's a very strange society we're living in. You've got people like the guy who owns Microsoft, whatever his name is, Alan something. I don't even know his name. Mega yachts, a fleet of airplanes, houses all over the world, marching with the protesters. Isn't it funny? You got a guy like Zucker Schmuck. I don't even know his first name. Zucker Schmuck, the undershirted, pockmarked moron who got lucky by ripping off his friends at Harvard, according to them, and according to the movie. I don't know if it's true or not. But Zucker Schmuck, who makes billions of dollars, now wants to exploit workers, and he's marching in solidarity with illegal aliens, saying that they should be granted amnesty and this and that. Well, yeah, yeah, great. The whole object there is for Zucker Schmuck to make more money, to lower the minimum wage, the wage that he's paying workers in Silicon Valley. There's another story, by the way, to Zucker Schmuck, which is this. Over the last week, you don't know this, over just before Thanksgiving, the ICE agency, ICE, and they don't sell ICE to Eskimos. They're supposed to be in charge of our border security. They actually told Zucker Schmuck to shut his mouth, dummy up, and get out of their way, or they're going to arrest him. They basically threatened them. They said, you're breaking the law. You're violating the law, Zucker Schmuck. You're making our Border Patrol agents, making their jobs impossible, Zucker Mouth. Shut up, dummy up, be happy with your money, and I hope they arrest him, because he's aiding and abetting criminal aliens in criminal activities. If we lived in a sane nation, I don't care what his connections are to the White House, whether you like him or not is irrelevant. He's breaking the law by encouraging law breaking. And if it was me running ICE, I would arrest Zucker Schmuck for aiding and abetting illegal aliens and illegal activities.
Savage.
Recently on this program, The Savage Nation, I was reading from an article by the World Tribune writer Saul Sanders entitled, "The Obama Crew Stumbles Through an Iran Deal at the Expense of Its Sunni Pals." What is that about? Well, it talks about the so-called deal with Iran that Obama engaged in, and how this deal is coming at the expense of all the other countries in the Middle East. Joining us now on The Savage Nation is Saul Sanders to give us a closer look into this article. Saul Sanders, welcome back to The Savage Nation.
Thank you very much for having me, Michael.
In your article, you say that Obama is now adding mystery to his obfuscation and incompetence. What do you mean?
Well, the conventional wisdom usually is don't pay attention to motivation, but see what people do. I reject that. You have to know why people are doing, or try to figure out why people are doing what they're doing. Because, first of all, they don't tell you generally why they're doing it, at least not honestly. Secondly, why they're doing it may be more important than what they're actually doing at that moment. And thirdly, if it's going to be a continuing relationship, either with a person or a country, you want to try to anticipate what they're going to do next. Now, I've been at this game of reporting and trying to analyze politics and economics for some 60 years now, and I've never found it more puzzling than now to figure out what the Obama administration, what the president thinks he is really doing, what his motivation is.
It doesn't make sense that he's trying to make deals with a country known not only not to honor deals, but to be behind most of the terrorist acts on the planet, all the while upsetting our closest allies in the Middle East. Look, I wrote about this in Trickle Down Tyranny, Saul, where I said he treats our enemies like friends and our friends like enemies.
Well, if you look at it from even more closely from his perspective, it's very hard to understand why he seems to have made a very big switch in gears. Obama has a long history of being very close to the Sunni Arabs, to the Palestinians, going back to his days in Chicago, where one of his closest friends was a former spokesman for Yasser Arafat, and who is now a professor at Columbia University. By the way, there is said to be a very interesting farewell speech or toast at a party to that gentleman in Chicago when he left the Chicago University for Columbia. And it held by the Los Angeles Times, which has refused to publish it and to give it to anyone else. It might be very interesting. But suddenly now, we find the intent, apparently, of the administration to throw its weight away from the old Arab friends and toward Iran. The Persians have been historically the enemy of the Arabs, and they continue to be. And the Arab states, who've been allied with the United States, are angry, frustrated, and I think fairly puzzled as much as I am about why this change in attitude.
One of the greatest ironies here is that Saudi Arabia and Israel have joined together, united, in stating this is a crazy idea on Obama's part.
Yes, I think only President Obama could put the Saudi Arabians and the Israelis together in at least a tacit alliance, however temporary. They both see the same threat from Persia, from Iran. And they, of course, both depend very heavily on the United States for cooperation in preventing Iranian domination of the region. I don't think that the threat to wipe Israel off the map is the important part of this equation. Obviously, someone like Benjamin Netanyahu heads the Jewish state cannot ignore repeated threats to wipe the Jews in the Middle East off the surface of the earth. They have the terrible experience of the Holocaust in Europe hanging over their head constantly. But what is really at issue, I think, is that the Tehran mullahs want to get their hands on a nuclear weapon in order to dominate the region and, of course, extend their influence beyond the region. And they're working on a more elaborate plan than just the bomb. They have Syria under attack, but Syria is an ally on the Mediterranean. They have Hezbollah, the terrorist outfit in southern Lebanon and Beirut, which, by the way, took more American lives until 9/11 in the bombing in Beirut in 1981 than any of our other enemies in the post-war period, excluding the big wars, of course. And they're trying to work across the much talked about Shia-Sunni line with Hamas in Gaza. Hamas has now been turned loose by the Egyptians, and of course it's been an adversary of the Israelis all along, but it's the Iranians who've been supplying them weapons and tearing up the turf in the Sinai Peninsula between Egypt and Israel in their pursuit of building Hamas into another Hezbollah. Now, whether they can do that's another story. They're also agitating among all the Shia populations. Unfortunately for the Saudis, for example, their eastern oil fields are in an always rebellious Shia area. Then there's the problem of Bahrain, which has a Sunni sheikhdom running it and has a Shia majority, which the Persians try to exploit. By the way, Bahrain is the headquarters for our flotilla in the Persian Gulf.
We know how much resistance there is against this deal, even within Iran. Why do you think Obama's pushing this deal?
Well, first of all, there is no deal. The most you have is an agreement not to have an agreement, because we say they have no right to enrichment of nuclear fuel toward building a bomb. They say they have that right. We are contemplating inspections on a daily basis. But as of the last, 48 hours, the dissident Persians abroad, the so-called Halk, who once participated in the overthrow of the Shah, but then were sent into exile by the mullahs, and have been our principal source of information on what is going on in the mullahs' pursuit of nuclear weapons, they've just announced that there's a new secret installation just within suburban distance of Tehran under a mountain. For 17 years, the UN International Atomic Energy Agency, which was supposed to police the non-proliferation treaty, which the Iranians had signed, did not know there was a nuclear bomb program going on. So one has to be very skeptical about how much real inspection there's going to be. Furthermore, by permitting a partial lifting of sanctions, we are imperiling the whole sanctions regime. It was very difficult to put it together over the last 10 years, and it's only been very recently when we went after third-party finances that it really began to impact. By the way, all sides are agreed that it didn't stop the progress of the mullahs going after a bomb. But now, if you lift the sanctions in part and permit in the next 6 months some $10 billion of oil to be sold, our friends, unfortunately, in Europe and in Japan, in China, in Russia, and even in the United States are licking their chops at those sales in these straitened economic times. It would be very hard to put the whole thing back together again after 6 months, I suspect.
Well, do you think this deal is going to go through? Iran has already said they're going to do whatever they want with regard to plutonium development. Israel's already said they're not going to sit by and let their country be destroyed.
Well, I'm not sure where it goes because, again, we get back to intent. What is the Obama administration trying to do? The only possible logic that one can see in this, I believe, is that they believe that by shifting their weight and making concessions to Iran, they will bring them into play, bring them out of what of the isolation they've been in, bring them into play in regional and world politics, and that the United States then can, we know that expression, unfortunately, lead from behind, that we will then be able to balance the forces in the area to produce peace and stability. I think that's a very large order. It would be a very large order for any group of experienced and proved diplomats, and I'm not sure we have that in this administration.
Okay, where can my listeners read more of your work, Saul?
You can read me on worldtribune.com, or you can read my website, which is called E. Oldie Crab, with two B's in the crab, and note particularly my page mark, Pure Bile. I think it'll give you some smiles.
Saul Sanders, thanks for the great article, and thanks for being with us on The Savage Nation.
Thank you for having me again.
Be right back.
Join The Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Insurers claim health website is still flawed. I don't even want to do it. I don't do Obamacare. Others do it 3 hours a day for 3 months in a row. You want to listen to that? I think, I don't know, you need a brain transplant. The thing is the system isn't working, and when it does work, it'll even be worse. You'll have the equivalent of Castro care. Now let's move on to the minimum wage, because this is going to affect a lot of people on Thursday when there's going to be a huge strike at fast food outlets. Now, whether you eat in fast food restaurants or not almost doesn't matter, because no matter where you go, you are employing in some ways a minimum wage worker. You're involved with the employment of, let's put it that way, a waiter in a restaurant, a busboy in a restaurant, a cook in a restaurant, a line cook in a restaurant, a vegetable chopper in a restaurant, a bus, you know, a dishwasher in a restaurant, a gardener, a maid. They're all working at least for minimum wage in this country. Now, if they all went on strike, how would that affect them, their job, and the country? The commie unions want them on strike without saying, see, they're not explaining to these poor people that they're exploiting them. They want to fatten the union officers' pensions and pockets. It has nothing to do with the worker. Because if they really wanted to help the worker, they wouldn't be pushing them to $15 an hour wages. They're never going to get it, number one, because the businesses aren't going to do it in reality, and they can't afford it. And number two, they should be reimbursing them for lost pay, as was done in other ages when we had legitimate unions. But let's hear what you have to say about this. Let's begin in New York City on WABC. Chris, minimum wage is the topic. Your opinion, please.
I just wanted to say, you know, I work in food service. I deliver food for a pizzeria. And, you know, I get paid, all my money's under the table, like your job you were talking about before.
And well, no, let's be clear. I don't get paid under the table now. It's when I was a kid in high school.
Oh, yeah, no, I meant when you were...
No, they're paying me actually by a check. They take out W-2 and everything. But, all right, so you get yours. What, they hire you for cash?
Yeah.
And are you happy with... I mean, not happy. What's your main point?
I'm still young. I have aspirations in life. You know, I have things I want to do with myself. And I think it's just that for this whole minimum wage subject, I mean, I personally think, you know, if it's on the ballot at the voting booth to raise the minimum wage, I feel inclined to vote for it, like, yes. But my whole point is, like, this whole idea with, like, these young people who work in fast food, they're being brainwashed to think, like, this is all you're ever going to do in your life. You're going to work at a fast food restaurant for the rest of your life. So you should push for more money. Is this all we're teaching people, that, like, this is the best you're ever going to do in life? You know,
well, they're using the old Marxist stratagem, which is that we're going to increase aid to the working poor by raising the minimum wage. Okay, so you got nuts like Paul Krugman, a lifetime academic lunatic, who says that we should absolutely pass an increase to the federal minimum wage because it won't affect him, of course. He's not working for minimum wage. But they don't ask what it will do to the business. What will it do to the business?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, they act like these guys, like a company like, I don't know if I can say a restaurant on here, but just any fast.
Now, look, truthfully, things have changed since my time as a teenager. The truth is, minimum wage jobs were done by kids. Today, kids generally don't work. They either all have bipolar disorder or they have agender disorder. They don't know whether they're man nor woman, fish nor fowl. They don't know whether they're animal, mineral, or vegetable. And they stay at home crying and sucking on their thumb, and they don't even want to work. That's the teenager of today. That's the young adult of today, if you can believe it. They're like toenail fungus to most of their parents. They can't get rid of them, no matter what they do. Thanks for the call. We haven't gotten anywhere with the question. All I've done is bash the lunatics in our society who are being... No, really, I don't like lazy people. They bother me. I don't like kids who stay home and don't work. I don't like kids who live off their parents' money. I don't respect families who make a lot of money and then don't require their children to work. I never did. I never would. I never raised my children that way. Thank God that they both worked very hard, and they're doing well on their own without me. I gave them the one thing I know how to give them, which is the value of work, hard work. To me, it's a religion. To me, hard work is a religion. And I'm not the only one. You laugh at me if you want. But I remember, and I still to this day know, that work is actually, there's a dignity in work. There's a beauty in work. There's a certain survivability about working. And, you know, we're talking about a big picture now, minimum wage. I can make it into a bigger topic, which is work, number one. And most Americans look forward to retirement. I never did. I doubt that I will ever retire. What do you mean retire? From what? From being alive? How could I ever retire? And have you seen how people spend their retirement, how pathetic these ads are? The old white couples sitting on a cruise ship with a glass of cheap, you know, swill in their hand, looking at the ocean, then going down and stuffing themselves on a cake. I mean, that's what you worked your whole life for? Good luck to you. There's 5-6 billion people on the planet. You can do what you want. It's a free world in America anyway. You want to spend your money that way, your retirement? I don't understand it. I don't understand how anyone could look forward their whole life to getting drunk and getting fat. And that's their whole existence, the whole reason to live. Where is it written, by the way? This whole thing about retirement and people bellyaching. Oh, what am I going to do? The thing, the economy, man, I can't retire. Mary and I were going to go. Well, I don't care what you and Mary were going to do. Where's it written? You and Mary were supposed to, at age 50, have a retirement? What kind of world are you living in? What do you mean you're supposed to retire? Where in the U.S. Constitution or the Bill of Rights does it say that you only have to work to a certain age, and then after that you're going to sit on your behind and do nothing? Or go gambling. That's your dream job. Your dream, rather, in your retirement. Go to an Indian gambling casino and run around from a roulette wheel to a card game. It's so undignified, it's unbelievable to me. There's no dignity in America. Where is the dignity found in this country anymore? I'll tell you where the dignity is found. It's found in certain professions. It's found in certain lifestyles. And it's the opposite of everything Obama supports. I couldn't resist that. I could not resist that. Dignity is found in the military, in the combat units of the military. That's the greatest dignity. Dignity is found in the street cop who has to put on a bulletproof vest every day and doesn't know if he's going to come home at night. Dignity is found in the border patrol. Dignity is found in the pilot who flies you to friends and family. Dignity is found in a classroom with a teacher who's really committed to it. So there is dignity in this country. Unfortunately, this government doesn't reward it. That's the country. But let's go back to the minimum wage. You know, you say they're working for minimum wage, the illegal. Let's take an illegal, an ordinary illegal alien working at McDonald's. Say, how could they live on $7.25 an hour? Oh, they work hard. We really respect them. Well, what you don't know is that there's someone at home in that family who's not working at all, who's collecting welfare, food stamps, benefits that may equal $25 an hour of tax advantages that you're paying for. So if the person's making $7 an hour as a minimum wage, I can guarantee you, as I sit here, in most cases, there's someone in that family making $25 an hour on benefits that they're not entitled to. That's one argument.
Savage.